praise the Lord. Thank you for that special in song. Did have two other quick announcements. Tuesday evening at 5:30 will be our international banquet. Everyone is invited to come to that, and we would love to have you come be a part of that. We still have three tables that are in need of help with decorating. If you want to help with that, please talk to my wife or Mrs. Harvey. So we still need some help with that if you like to, even though it's a little last minute. If you'd like to help with that, we'd love to have your help for the international banquet. And don't forget, for our active duty military and their families, we're having a meal after the service this morning, and we'd love to have you come and join us over in Harvey Hall for that, for all our active duty and active duty military members and their families as well. And this morning, gave an introduction for Brother Olson a little while ago, so why don't you just come, brother, and bring the Word of God for us this morning.
All right. It's still good to be here. Amen. Hope you're not sick of me yet. And if you don't like the message this morning, just come back tonight. Maybe one of them will be okay, you know. You never know. Can't strike out every time. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 8 in just a few moments. Acts chapter number 8. Pastor mentioned a couple things on the table back there that are free. They just happen to be the little ones, right? The big ones aren't. But we got a little bookmark for everyone. Hopefully there's enough for everyone to have a bookmark. And just a good reminder, a couple of verses there, too, about missions. And you keep that in your Bible. And when you look at it and you see what it costs, some of what it costs to win the lost, and you can continue to pray about those things and make sure you're doing what you should be doing, then we really hope and pray that God will stir you to want to be more involved in some way or other about missions. And so we've got a little pamphlet back there that is also free. There should be enough for one per family, and maybe by the end of the week we'll see if there's extras. But at least one per family. If you'd like to know how to get more involved with missions, some good practical ideas here that I think will be a help and a blessing to you also. So you can see my wife. She does a much better job of talking to people than I do back there. So she helps me out with the table. All right, we are in Acts chapter number 8. Again, let me thank you for the nice accommodations. Very comfortable over there, and we've been pampered. We like that. You know, it's kind of nice. So we're grateful for that. It's a blessing, and we hope that God will challenge you and give you a blessing from His Word this morning. We are going to be in Acts chapter number 8. We're going to begin in verse number 26. Verse 26, we'll read several verses here so we can get the context of what's going on. If you're looking for a title, I like to give titles to messages. This one is simply Men in Missions. Men in Missions. And don't worry, ladies, you can, you know, fit yourself in there too, but there just happen to be three men in the passage. So then we're going to talk about all three of these men. And you could fit into one of the first two groups. You certainly couldn't fit into the last one, and you'll see why as we get into the message. But everyone can find themselves somewhere, or should find themselves somewhere in this passage. We'll begin here, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your word, and I'm asking that you'll take it and apply it to our hearts and lives this morning. There's different needs here. We all have things in our lives that are going on. And Lord, I just pray that you would take the word of God and in your miraculous way, apply it to hearts and lives and challenge us. Give us what we need from your word this morning. Encourage us for this idea, the subject of missions. And Lord, if there's some might be here this morning that they're not saved themselves, they're lost, and they need to be reached. And I pray that you would reach out and touch their heart and move them, Lord, to see their need for you and their need for a changed life and how you can do that. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Lord, I need your help too. Please give me that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Men in missions. Well, I'm not going to go through a long introduction. I'm just going to get straight into the message, okay? There are three men that we're going to see here. The first one is the seeking man. The second one is the serving man. And the third one is the saving man. That's why none of us could actually fit into that third group. We'll see who that is in just a moment. But the first one I want you to see is the seeking man. Notice with me that this man here was an Ethiopian man. In verse number 27, and he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. I like this story right away because here's a man from Africa who's going to get saved. I like that. Amen? I like that because I lived in Africa and I love being there. And the Bible says that this man, he was a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, you know, there are still many people who live in grass, thatched roofs, homes. And there are a lot of folks in Africa who still have, dirt floors, and they don't have quite what we have. You know, you probably went to a closet this morning and decided which set of clothes you were going to wear. A lot of folks in the churches in our churches back there in Zambia, a lot of those folks didn't have a closet. Most homes don't even have a closet to go and to choose. What outfit am I going to wear? So we're pretty spoiled here in America. But when we think of this Ethiopian man in the Bible, he wasn't that way. This man was actually quite well-to-do. The Bible here tells us a little bit about him. It says that he was a man of great authority. Now, you know how that goes. If someone's got a lot of power, they also usually have a lot of money, right? Most people tend to use their power for what? To get advantages and gain. This man, he had a lot of authority. He was an educated man. He was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he had the charge of all her treasure. He was a trustworthy man. He was in charge of all the money. Now, one thing, if you're going to put someone in charge of all the money, you better pay him well, right? So he's not going to be tempted to take any of the money. So you've got to figure this guy is educated. He's a leader. He is. He's got his own, Ferrari, right? He's got a chariot. Not everybody had a chariot to drive around. This guy was well-to-do, okay? And it's interesting. I love this thing. Why did he go up to Jerusalem? The Bible tells us right there in the end of verse 27. He went there to worship. That was the purpose. He left Africa. And he traveled on a chariot. Now, I might want to travel on a chariot for, half a mile or so, just to say it was neat to do. But it would be pretty bouncy, I'm sure, and not quite very comfortable. All right? I like comfort. I like good shock absorbers in my vehicle and things like that. I like a nice cushioned seat. But here, this man, he's taking this chariot, and he went all the way to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And then in verse 28, the Bible says that he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Now, think with me. This man was not a saved man. Yet, he wanted to worship the Lord. There was something in his heart that said, I need God. I need the Lord. And he took and went on a great journey to find out a little bit more about the Lord. And notice also, he sacrificed. He left Jerusalem with a copy of the book of Isaiah. They didn't have like printed Bibles like we have today. You know, they had things on scrolls, and to have them, someone had to take and handwrite all of that out. So he had a portion of the Old Testament, a portion of the book of Isaiah. No doubt it was costly, it was rare. Not everybody had a copy of the Scripture. Also interesting, he was able to read it. And it wasn't even in his language. He was a pretty smart guy. So he's educated. He's got some money. He's got some authority. He's willing. He's wanting to worship God. He goes all that way. He's seeking. He wants to know the Lord. And the sad thing is, he left without knowing the Lord. He went to worship. So no doubt he's up there trying to pray somehow. You know, there's a lot of people in this world. They know there's a God. They know that they should pray. They try to talk to him. They don't even know how to talk to him. They just try. There are some people in the world who still are seeking the Lord. They know they're missing something. Listen, this guy had it all. Man, he had it all. And yet, he was missing something. And he knew it. And he went. He wanted that need. You know, there's something in the life of every one of us that only God can fill. There's a little hole, and there's an empty, there's a vacuum. There's something missing in our lives. And it's not complete until we've repented of our sin and said, this is terrible. It's hurting me. It's ruining my life. And we turn to Jesus and ask Him to come into our life and save us and to forgive us and to change us, to cleanse us and to take that guilt away. Oh, and then He gives us happiness and joy and peace and changed life and a new direction and a new purpose. And oh, He makes life so much better, doesn't He? Oh, people think they're happy, you know. They're going out, they're getting wasted on a Friday night and Saturday morning. They're driving the porcelain bus. Say, what's that? They're hugging the toilet and filling it. Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Oh, yeah. What'd you do last night? I don't know. Well, let me tell you. You did this and this. I did? Oh, I'm in trouble. You know, it's not a fun life after all. Living for the world and doing all that stuff gets us in nothing but trouble and headache and heartache and all sorts of other things. And here's a man, though. He's got it all. He's sincere. He's reading the Bible. And he's trying to pray. And yet, he was missing something. None of those things saved him. You know, there's a lot of people that have gone to church today. And they think, well, if I go to church, that'll help me get into heaven. It's not going to get you into heaven. Well, I'll read my Bible. Maybe that'll get me into heaven. Well, if you read the Bible, you might find out how you can get saved, and you might find out how you can get to heaven, but you can read your Bible 24 hours a day, and you're not going to get to heaven just because you read your Bible. You're not going to get to heaven because you put a little money in the offering plate. You're not going to get to heaven because you've come to church. People know they're missing something. They know they need something, and they try to fill it with religion. If I'm a little bit more religious, maybe God will be happy with me, and He'll let me into heaven. He's not going to be happy with us as long as we have sin. And that sin will send us to a place called hell. So here's this man. He's got it all.
Except he doesn't have the Lord. Maybe that would describe someone here today. You think you got it all. But you know you're missing something. There's an emptiness in your heart and in your life. Let me tell you, Jesus can fill that. He'd love to come in and change you and make you a new person. Wonderful thing He's done for so many of us. And He'd like to do that for you. So he's reading the Scripture, but there was a problem. And I find this is a problem that a lot of people who really don't know the Lord have. He didn't understand it. He just picked up the Bible and said, this is supposed to be a good book. I don't understand this. He's reading it. Now look with me there in verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He said, I can't understand. I need someone to guide me. Then look at also here. And he, what's that next word? He desired. I like that. He wanted someone to sit down, open the Bible, and explain it to him. Do you know that's what people need? They know they're missing something. They don't know what it is. And we can take the Bible and say, hey, let me show you something right here. And you start showing people out of the Word of God what God says, and it starts making sense. And they go, wow. Wow, that is something in there, isn't it? God begins to speak to them, and God begins to change their heart, and God begins to change their mind about things. And this is the seeking man. He's seeking something. He doesn't know exactly what it is. He knows he needs the Lord. He's missing something. He doesn't know how to find the Lord. You know what he needed? He needed the second man in our Bible. He needed a serving man. He needed someone to go up and talk to him. He's seeking. And by the way, there are people out there seeking. Who knows? Maybe you came to church this morning. You're seeking. You know you need something. You don't know exactly what it is. Well, I'm here to tell you who it is. It's Jesus. He's there to change that life. So we've got the seeking man. Secondly, we see the serving man. And notice a couple things about the serving man with me, if you will. Go back here to verse number 26. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, think with me. This man from Ethiopia, he wants to know the Lord. Is he going to know the Lord without Philip? No. So, God said to Philip, hey, I got somewhere for you to go. I've got something for you to do. I've got someone for you to go talk to. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it was easy for Philip? Well, I didn't read the first part of the chapter, but if you would go and read, Philip was in Samaria. They were having revival. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. All sorts of wonderful things were happening in Samaria. And then the Lord comes along and says, hey, Philip, I want you to go down to this place here. And the Bible says there, which is desert. Desert. All this good, fun stuff happening. You know, the Lord's doing miracles. Wonderful things happen here. And you want me to go where? To the desert? I think I could go to the desert in an air-conditioned vehicle. Right? I think I could go with lots of bottles of water. Right? They didn't have bottled water. They didn't have air conditioning. And, you know, I'd like to see a chariot trying to drive through the desert in the sand. That'd be pretty hard. You're not going to go too fast. It might be cushioned, but you're not going to go very fast. And by the way, Philip didn't have a chariot. Ethiopian had the chariot. I was like, wait a minute. Lord, you're blessing. We're having a good time here. Things are going really well. We're having revival. And you want me to go where? That's not really comfortable. That's not really convenient. I've got a little program going on over here. And God said, yeah, but I got a program over there. You see, this is what it takes to serve the Lord sometimes. Getting out of our comfort zone.
So when the church has a visitation program, I didn't check when it was, if it's in the evening or on a Saturday morning or whenever. I don't know when it is, but I'll tell you one thing. Whenever it is, I'm sure you all have something to do that's not included in that. Right? Saturday mornings, I got things to do. But I also say, you know what we need to do? We need to go out and make some visits. We go knock on some doors. You know, our pastor challenged us,
our church to knock on 25,000 doors this summer. That's not 25,000 people. The homes of 25,000 people. No. If you got a town of 10,000, there's not 10,000 doors. So we had to knock on a lot of doors, a lot of towns.
It was fun. It was exciting. It wasn't always fun. It wasn't always exciting. But you push yourself a little bit and do a little bit more for the Lord and go out a little bit and do something. And you see, it's not going to always be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable. But we need to get out of that comfort zone.
And so we see that this man was sacrificial. He went to this desert place and was willing to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Not only with that, he was obedient. Look here in verse 26 again. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, what's those next three words? Arise and go. Now, drop down to verse 27. And he what? Arose and went. You know what it takes to be a servant? Obedience. The Lord said, get up and go. So you know what he did? He got up and went. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, then you got to start obeying.
I'll tell you, every young person, every child in here, every teenager in here, God has a plan for your life. He wants to do something in your life and with you and through you. But it starts with obedience. If you can't obey mom and dad when they say do something, you're probably not going to obey the Lord when he tells you to go do something. Learn to obey. So why? Because God said so. Because he said, children, obey your parents, for this is right. So why? Because it's right. So just do it. Well, I don't understand. Just do it. It's right. And you begin to learn to obey. And you learn to obey. And when the Lord comes and says, go do this, you do it. Some of us are so stubborn, we're not going to do anything that we don't want to do. And we usually just do the things that we want to do.
We're living in a very selfish society. You know, everything revolves around us, right? I mean, we take selfies. It's all about who? It's all about me, right? And then you take movies of yourself and we post them on what? YouTube. Everybody can be a movie star. You can be a movie star. You can have your own YouTube channel. It's all about me. That's our problem. We're not obedient. We're not sacrificial.
I like this too. Lord told Philip, hey, I want you to go down there and you're going to find an Ethiopian man. He wasn't prejudiced. Amen. He wasn't prejudiced. God loves everybody. What on earth? I mean, we were going to pick and choose who we're going to talk to? No.
We should be open and willing to talk to anyone. God so loved the what? The world. That's a pretty big place. There's a whole lot of kind of people in this world, aren't there? He loved everybody. Every race, every religion. Now, he doesn't agree with all the religions. Every lifestyle. He doesn't agree with all the lifestyles. loves those people. And we need to love those people. We don't need to love their lifestyle when it's wrong, but we need to love those people. And so, this servant, he was obedient, he was sacrificial, he wasn't prejudiced. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit spoke, he listened, and he didn't ignore when the Lord said, go. Sometimes the Lord prompts us to give a tract to someone or a witness to someone. He puts someone on our heart. And, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Sometimes we sit there and we start having a little, making excuses of why we shouldn't do that one. Or why they're not going to listen anyway. And we have all of this going on. Listen, just be open and be a servant. It takes something to be a servant. It takes obedience and being sacrificial and not being prejudiced and being sensitive. And look what also, he was quick to run to opportunities. The Bible says there again in chapter number 8 and in verse number 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Check out what happens there in verse 30. And Philip, what's the next word? I like that.
God said, by the way, if a chariot's moving, you're going to have to run. You ain't going to catch it by walking. But you know, that's the thing. We think if we delay long enough, if we go slow enough, hey, we don't have to do it anymore. Well, when God says do something, Philip's, I mean, he's taking off. He's running. Okay, you said I'm running. I think a practical application is that we ought to be quick to respond to the Lord and quick to run to opportunities for Him. Because sometimes when we miss that opportunity, we never have that opportunity again.
When the Lord puts someone on our heart and we say, we hesitate, and then we hesitated too long. We never see that person again. We never have that opportunity again. We never get to get that gospel witness out. The servant. We've got a seeking man. He needed the Lord. We've got a serving man, thankfully, here in this passage, who was able to take, God was able to take the serving man and put him together with the seeking man so that this seeking man could find the Lord. And I also see something here in verse number 30. I like this too. I think we have to be very thorough. Listen,
telling people about the Lord, we are told to be witnesses. The Bible says that you shall be witnesses unto me. A witness just tells people what the Lord's done. And that's something we ought to do. It's not just go through the plan of salvation. We need to go through the plan of salvation. But we need to tell people that the Lord's real. And explain how He's worked in your life and how He's changed your life and what He's done for you, He can do for them. Don't be afraid to give your testimony.
Share what God's been doing in your life. It makes it real. It makes it so people will be a little bit more willing to listen to you when you give the plan of salvation. But notice here in verse 30, Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I think something else we need to learn about being a servant is to be thorough. When it's time to talk to someone about the Lord and about this topic of salvation, we need to make sure they understand. It's not just about getting someone to pray a prayer. A prayer is not necessarily going to do it.
I think the Bible says, yes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Sure, it says that. And they need to call upon the name of the Lord. But it also says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's got to be some understanding of what's being told to them. They've got to understand that their good works can't save them. They've got to understand that sin takes them to hell. They've got to understand that they can't fix the problem. They've got to understand that only Jesus and save. And so we've got to take that time and explain it to them and help them to understand. And when there's an understanding, then they can be saved. I was told you
a few minutes ago in the previous hour that we're able to witness to a Zambian man. Well, he wasn't just any old Zambian man. He's a former ambassador to three different countries, and he was here in the States visiting one of his children. And by the way, one of the young couple in our church, they went out knocking on doors and did a little extra visiting, try to get that 25,000 door campaign. They were already doing visiting, but they want to do a little bit of extra, and they weren't having very good results. He didn't really feel well. He had been working hard all day, working construction, didn't even feel like going, but they went, and then didn't feel like keep going on because they had some terrible visits going on. Sorry. Water. Amen. And they continued. They came across this door, and a young lady answered the door, and she came out of church a couple weeks. She introduced Joe and Margaret Mwale, and they came to church. Joe just turned 76, and he's former ambassador. He's currently an advisor to one of the presidential candidates, still very active. If you Googled his name in Zambia, you'd see he's known. Came to church. The youth pastor happened to be preaching that morning to a big, we had a big youth Sunday, and he just happened to be preaching on John 3:16 and just happened to be preaching. And Mr. Mwale came under conviction, and his tears were coming down. I was able to take him. I met him that day for the first time. I took him out to lunch, him and his wife, and I witnessed to him. I spent around 3 hours with him, witnessed to him. Said, "Are you ready to be saved?" He said, "One problem." And he shared something with me that was something he had been struggling with. And he wasn't ready to be saved. After spending 3 hours, after he heard a sermon that was 45, 50 minutes long, wasn't quite ready. I could have said, "Well, it doesn't matter, just pray this prayer." That's not going to get him saved. So we took the time. I left him with a pretty detailed gospel tract. I said, "Listen, you can read this. And anytime you want to pray and receive Christ, you can." And I made an appointment. We met him again on Tuesday. So it was Sunday, and we gave him a couple of days. And Tuesday, we actually had him and his wife over. My wife made a nice meal. Good excuse to have a nice meal. Amen. And we had a nice meal. And then, but when I went to pick him up, he's already got questions about the Bible. He starts trying to quote part of the tract to me that I had given to him. He hadn't read it. He had studied it. He said, "For 2,000 years, people have been being saved. Jesus has been changing lives." He said, "Except for mine. That needs to change." He talked about born again. I explained it wasn't baptism. And he's like, "It's not." He says, "I've learned something new." And that's on the way to the house. We ate afterwards. I mean, we sat down, and I'm going through the plans. He was ready. That issue that he had dealt with, I had also addressed that issue before we left on Sunday, and I went through again. And he made a decision. He got baptized last Sunday night. And on Tuesday, he flew back to Zambia. And when he landed, he got home, he called me. "I just want you to know we made it." Wow. You know, I think he got saved. He didn't just pray a prayer. He got saved. His life has changed. And he wants to tell other people about the Lord. That's what happens when you get saved. You want to tell people what happened to you. This is an exciting time. And I use that illustration to say this. We've got to be thorough. We've got to make sure people understand the gospel and understand that they need to repent, as was mentioned earlier this morning. We've got to
make sure they know what the Bible says.
And when they do, oh, there's a changed life. And that's what we see here.
Oh, there's more. Let me just keep going here. Let me just quickly end here with the saving man. So we've seen, so he's thorough, and we've seen that the seeking man, he's got a need. He knows he's missing something. He's doing what he can to fill that need. He's worshiping. He's trying to pray. He's trying to read the Scripture. He still knows he's missing something. And God says, hey,
he gets the serving man to go help the seeking man.
And the serving man told the seeking man about our third man, the saving man. Look with me there in verse number 35.
Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Now the name Jesus was not mentioned like that Jesus in the Old Testament like that. But Jesus was mentioned. Who he was and what he was going to do was mentioned there in the book of Isaiah.
And so Philip said, let me tell you who we're talking about there, that what you're reading, that's talking about Jesus. And you say, so what did he learn? What did he see? Let's see a couple things about the saving man here. And go back with me there in verse number 32. The Scripture says, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. Now, here's a quote from the Old Testament. The rest of verse 32 and verse 33 are a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He, there, is referring to Jesus. And so Philip begins to explain what Jesus was supposed to do. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was submissive to his Father. He left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross. You know, he lived a perfect life, had never sinned. And just like a sheep was led to the slaughter, he didn't refuse. He went to the cross. He's God. He could have come off the cross.
We sing that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have spoken the word and all those Roman soldiers would have just died. You know? You know, if it was me, I would have been a little dramatic about it, you know? Pop those nails. Boom. Boom. You know? Boom. Jump down and, yeah, you know. And not Jesus. Jesus stayed on that cross. He didn't have to. He wanted to. He did it for us. And when he did, the Bible says that all of our sins, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all.
All of my sins, all of your sins were put on Christ. And he was punished. We are the ones that deserve that punishment. But the saving man, he was sacrificial. He went to the slaughter. Willingly, he died for us.
He was our substitute. You say, what's a substitute? You ever have a substitute teacher? Yeah, we know what a substitute is. They come in and take the place of the teacher. Usually the substitute teacher gets abused. Right? Usually the substitute was...
I'm telling on me myself here, but you know, when I was a student, you know, that was a couple of years ago. When the substitute came, oh man, that was the time, right? Not what you should be doing, but I'm just telling you, that's what happens sometimes. Now think with me. Why do we need a substitute? I just said, because we've sinned, we deserve to die. Not just that, we deserve to die and go to hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a price. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the wage of my sin and the wage of your sin. If we get what we deserve, we go to a lake that's burning with fire and never get out. But Christ loved us so much. He left heaven and said, I'll take their place.
See, the Bible says all have sinned.
And also says that there's none righteous. You know, you've got two problems. Just like I had two problems. I've got sin, so I can't go to heaven. And I'm not righteous. That means I'm not even good enough to go into heaven. So I've got something that keeps me out of heaven.
and I don't have the thing that I need to get me into heaven. I don't have righteousness, and I got sin. So I'm like in double trouble. That's where the Bible says the Lord comes in. And the Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So when Jesus died on the cross, He took my sin. Watch this now. He took my sin. He gave me His righteousness. Now my sin's gone. I'm halfway to heaven. And I got His righteousness. Now I'm all the way to heaven. Why? He fixed the whole problem. He's my substitute. He's your substitute. He's died on the cross for you. He's
willing to take your sin and give you righteousness. You know, we go around trying to make ourselves better all the time. How many times have you done something bad and you say, "Man, I'm never going to do that again." And a week later, what are you doing? Same thing. Why? You have no power. You can't change yourself. So you say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't fix this. Will you please help me come into my life and change me and forgive me?" And that's what the saving man does.
He gives us. He takes our sin. He gives us His righteousness. The Bible says, "So opened He not His mouth." He didn't try to defend Himself when He was falsely accused. He stayed on that cross. The Bible says there that He talked about in verse 33, "In His humiliation, His judgment was taken away." Humiliation? Yeah, they took off His robe, they stripped Him and nailed Him to a cross. That was what they used for the worst of criminals. He experienced shame for us. And He did nothing wrong. He's our Savior. He preached unto Him Jesus. That name Jesus means Savior. You can't save yourself. That's why you need a substitute. And then look here in verse number 37. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." The guy wanted to get baptized. He said, "You ain't going to get baptized until you're saved. Because you don't get baptized in order to get saved. If you got baptized, that didn't save you. It didn't wash nothing away, maybe a little bit of dirt. Okay? It didn't reach inside of your soul." And listen to what the Ethiopian man, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He said, "I'm trusting Christ." Now look what happens there, down there in verse number 39. And so he did baptize him in verse 38 after he got saved, after he trusted Christ as a Savior. Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the Ethiopian man, went on his way doing what? Rejoicing." You know what Jesus does?
He satisfies. He brings joy. You can try to go fill your life with all sorts of pleasure and it's empty. When you get Christ,
you've got joy. You can have deep sense of fulfillment and contentment and peace instead of that guilt. Oh, the Lord wants to change your life. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There's only two kinds of people in the whole world. Either you've got Jesus or you don't. And when you got Him, you got life. If you don't have Him, you don't have life. And how do I get Him? The Bible says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you will receive Christ as your Savior, He will save you. He will change you. This man went home a different man. He was changed. He was happy. God can change you too. He's still in the life-changing business. He's still changing people. He's still making people happy. He's still giving people joy. People turn to the bottle. They turn to the pill. They turn to everything to be happy. And it never leaves them happy. It just brings more problems. Why don't you turn to the Lord? Are you a seeking person today? Well, praise God. Maybe the Lord put someone in your life to be a serving person to help you get out to church to hear about the Lord. And today you've heard about the saving man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "I don't understand all this. I know I got sin. I know I got problems. I need help." Great. Let us take the Bible. take a few minutes and show you how you can have Jesus come into your life and change you. I've regretted a lot of things I've done in my life, but that I have not regretted. There's no regrets about that.
God wants to help. Nobody else, nothing else will give you great joy. I've preached today,
and I said that all of us should find ourselves in there somewhere. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you are the seeking person. Today, why don't you say, I need to know more about how to be saved. I need more to know more about the Lord.
I want this life change. I want this happiness, this joy you're preaching about.
There's some others here. God wants you to be that serving person, but you're struggling with that because you're not obedient. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and you're not willing to go. You're not willing to, you won't, not only will you, you're not even thinking about going across the ocean.
You're not even willing to go across the street or across town. Let's be obedient. I'm glad. I thought the Ethiopian man was pretty happy that Philip obeyed.
He was sacrificial. He gave up a little bit of comfort. He gave up what was fun and exciting to him at the time to go help someone else. That's what we need to do. That's what the serving person does. Life's not Disneyland. Okay? Life's about serving the Lord. And you're blessed when you do. Oh, I think Philip went on his way rejoicing too.
I think he was pretty excited about what God had done. Are you willing to let the Lord work in your life and help people come to the Savior? Not everybody wants to know about the Lord, but some do. Let's do what we can to help. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll ask the Lord to work in our hearts. We'll come to this time of the service. That's the invitation. And this is where we invite you. That's why it's called an invitation. We invite you to respond to God. You see, when we preach the Word of God, God speaks to hearts. He may have spoken to your heart today. If He spoke to your heart, the invitation is time for you to speak to Him now. Okay? He did His part. Now it's your turn to do your part. If you're not saved here today, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and please, nobody looking around, you say, Brother Olson, I think I'm that seeking man. I've got a lot of things going for me, but I also know I got sin, and I know I'm missing something in my life, and I sure would like to have that joy. I'd like to have that change of life. I'd like to know a little bit more about this salvation thing. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to be saved. Would you lift up your hand so I can see it? I'll pray for you. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know more about being saved. Would you lift up your hand so I can see it? I'd like to pray for you. My prayer won't get you saved, but I'd sure like to pray for you. Okay, thank you, young lady. Okay. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved, but God's speaking. Something's going on in my heart. There's a little tugging going on. I feel something, a little squeeze. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit of God trying to say, you need that. Are you willing to receive the Lord? Anybody else, would you lift up your hand and say, I would like to be saved. I'd like to know more about it. Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. Perhaps you are saved. Are you obedient? Are you a serving person? Are you responding to the Lord's command? He said, go, and you're not going. Are you willing to inconvenience yourself a little bit? Change your schedule around a little bit and go do what God wants you to do. Help some seeking person find the Lord. You might have to do a lot of seeking, but you'll find somebody. God's there. He wants to help someone. He wants to use you. Are you quick to run to those opportunities? God said, arise and go. He arose and went. Are you willing to do the same thing? I'm going to pray. Father, we ask that you'd help those who might not be saved. Lord, think of this young lady, Lord, raise her hand. I pray that give understanding at the right time. And Lord, we pray that anyone who would need to be saved would be willing to slip out of their seat when the music plays in just a moment and come and meet the pastor at the front. Be able to take the Bible in a private room and show them how to be saved. Also pray, Lord, for your people who are already saved. They've got salvation, but they've not been giving it out to others. They've not been given that gospel. They've not been going as they know they should. Lord, how can we expect people to go across the ocean if they're not willing to go across the street? I pray you'd help your people to respond and be willing to arise and go. Work in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name.